Coming up on today's show, we have a couple of trip reports, one of them being from a Disney cruise line. That's today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 340. We are back. It has been a few weeks now, 2 weeks at least, I think, since our last one. We've been a little sporadic around the holiday season, but I think I feel like this one was busy all around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
Omicron joined the party.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm your host for this week. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by Adam.
What's up, everybody? That's me. I was already talking. Sorry about that.
And also on the show, we have Big Money Jason.
Big Money? I think it's more like Vacation Jason turned him into No Money Jason.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was acting like he was Big Money, but now he's broke Jason.
I hear Jason has a big announcement to talk about, but I think the real announcement is that Chapek is adding the fourth jacuzzi to his new house now because of Jason.
That is part of it, yes.
Chapek is very happy tonight, just FYI.
He does not have to get the medium-sized jacuzzi. So, as I mentioned, we have a couple of trip reports, so that's going to be pretty packed for our show. So, if by chance there's a little room at the end of this, we might do some news, but I think this one's going to be pretty much just trip reports, and I'm going to kind of guide this since I'm the host this week. New year, maybe we can mix things up a little bit. Maybe we should do it more often, right? I mean, we should try new things. New year, new things. New variant.
Sure. I mean, in honor of Omicron, we will try something new. Yeah, a new variant of our show.
A new variant of our show. Yeah, there you go. We need to keep doing that to keep it fresh. So, right. As keep I alluded to, or just pretty much stated in the opening, Adam and Jason were both in Disney World. Jason went just very briefly before he went on his Disney cruise over New Year's Eve on the Disney Dream. And Adam, he went down around the same time, right? Or did you go at the exact same time?
We left on the same day. We got there.
Left on the same day. But Adam decided instead of going on the boat, he decided to stay in Disney World.
Yeah. Well, there were reasons for that, but yeah.
There were dollar sign reasons as part of it, right?
Yes.
Yes, no.
Yes, a little there bit. Were, but other reasons that
I'm sure. Mention. Yeah. We won't have to get too into it. But, because if I'm not mistaken, whenever he was talking about the planning, he got a really good deal, and when you were looking, like, it wasn't as good a deal or something like that.
Yeah, so, like, Jason booked early, got a good rate, and then by the time I looked, it was already, like, almost double the rate he booked.
Double for the same type of
Also have
cabin?
An extra kid, so that made it higher, but, you know.
Yeah, that factors into it.
Yeah.
I got this special deal because they had like extra availability when I booked, and it was one of those you didn't pick your room, and they were actually, at the time I was booking, offering a veranda room cheaper than an ocean view or an inside room. So they were just like not selling them, and so yeah, I got a really good deal.
Yeah, they most definitely yield the rates on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So I guess we should start, since you both arrived same day. I don't know about you guys. One of the things when people say, like, you're going to Disney World again? And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? Every trip that I've ever gone, it's never been the same. It's always, it's not like it's exactly the same. Every trip has been different in some way or shape or form.
There's always
it's never been the exact
new,
same thing.
Right. Or I always try to add something new to my trip that I haven't done before or haven't done in a long time. Something like that.
Well, even if I go to way back in the day, I can never find, like, each trip has its own unique memories to me, no matter what.
Yeah.
And there's, even though there's been, like, 40 of them, it's something. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what number I'm on now, but.
There were several firsts for me on this trip.
Okay, so, Adam, you were staying at Pop.
Yep, Pop Century.
And, Jason, you were staying at one of the Hiltons. Which one was it you were in?
It was the Signia Hilton at Bonnet Creek.
At Bonnet Creek. Because that was somewhat new as far as, like, they upgraded it, I guess. Was that right?
They changed the name.
Just changed.
They changed.
Hotel's the same.
Hotel's
oh, so
the
everything
same.
Else it's, was the same?
Everything. Yeah, it's just that they wanted to designate that this is more of a higher tier Hilton, I guess, in their mind, like more of a resort, as compared to their standard Hiltons that are just more like hotels. And so, as I understand, there's more Signias being built that are going to carry like that line, not at Disney World, but around the world. But I think this is the first one they've given that
name,
that brand. To.
Well, I mean, it's a great place to do a test, so to speak. It's like the optimal place to do a test.
And I'm pretty sure Jason would agree. This is the best Hilton
in
the Disney area.
Of course, Hilton, yes. Hilton.
The Waldorf is also a Hilton property, which I'm sure is better. But this one is a fantastic hotel in a lot of ways. Yeah, the pool area, which we'll get to, I'm sure, at some point in our discussion, is one of the best, including Disney resorts, I would say. What did you think, Jason?
Yes. I mean, it's not Beach Club, but it is definitely better than most resorts, and especially the values, for sure.
Yeah, better than values, better than some of the mods on the pools.
I think it just depends on what you're looking for, but I would say it is better than the Coronado Springs pool, and I love the Coronado Springs pool just because of the sheer size and the size, the amenities, all of that is better. Right. It's better than the old Key West pool, in my opinion.
The Lazy River is better than Yachtin Beach's Lazy River, if you want to call that a Lazy River.
Right. Really?
Yeah, it is. It reminds me of Aulani's Lazy River, which is the best Lazy River I've ever been in.
I see.
But there's more foliage, I guess you'd say, at the Aulani one, which makes it better. Yeah. But it's a really nice Lazy River. Really nice.
And I mean, yeah, the drinks were well apportioned as far as like they weren't that expensive comparatively to like a Disney hotel. I mean, we got buckets of beer for a decent price. Mm-hmm. We also, I mean, we can go ahead and jump to our pool experience. Pool experience was our second day where we went and spent our time at the pool. Adam and his family came over to join us. We got to the pool, my family did, fairly early after breakfast. I mean, we slept in. We'll talk about how we stayed up super late the night before and the second night.
Yeah, right.
But we got to the pool maybe 10 o'clock maybe. I don't know, somewhere around there. We were hanging out, starting to get in the pool. And my wife was saying something to me. And then someone said, "Oh, hey, Cindy." She turns around and some parents of a child in my son's first grade class, so that we knew. And so my son had a couple of friends to play with because they had a brother. So we met a family that we knew from my son's school, and they were there on somewhat of a last second trip because their trip to Mexico had been canceled. And they were staying at the Waldorf and they had gotten a cabana. So suddenly, our crew had a cabana to use for the day.
Yeah.
So
they were
nice.
They were gracious enough to let us stay in it too, as we never met them before until that day. So obviously they're really nice people, great people. So it was really nice that they let us hang out and crash their cabana as well.
And comparing cabanas, the experience in that cabana was very similar to the experience I had at the Yacht and Beach Club cabana. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some included drinks, there's service, there's a TV, you know, the pull-out chairs. They had floats specifically for the cabanas in case, you know, all the floats for the Lazy River were already taken. You got your own personal floats. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good experience at that pool. We that day were going to go see Enchantment, and it was going to shoot off at 6:30 p.m. We did not make that because we were having a good time. We had some drinks, and we just didn't want to leave early enough to, like, I already knew I didn't really like Enchantment, so I wasn't going to go stop having a good time just so I can see Enchantment.
I saw parts of Enchantment three different nights while we were there.
But never the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw it driving in twice. And then I saw it from the, like, Columbia Harbor House Fantasyland area one time. Never saw the projections or anything, so neither one of us got to see Enchantment yet.
Yeah, so
that's interesting.
The pool made that hotel. And also, one of the nice things about a Hilton is if you're a Hilton Honors member, and when you check in, you can pick your room as part of the check-in in the app. Whereas with Disney, you're just requesting a room. So I was like, oh, there's a top floor room available that I can take. So I took a top floor room so we'd be quieter, have a good view and all that. And that worked out well. And I would stay there again. I think the main thing that my wife didn't like, and I agree with this, is the distance from everything. Like Bonnet Creek, it's really buried back in there. Like I didn't realize how far you'd have to drive after entering the Bonnet Creek area. It takes a while, especially to the Magic Kingdom. Like I think it almost feels longer to get from there to the Magic Kingdom than it does from like Animal Kingdom Lodge, just because of, I don't know. It just felt like it took a really long time to get back.
It's deep. From the Magic. It's definitely deep. It's in the cut, as they say. Yeah.
Okay. So,
that's the main detractor I would put towards it as far as the location and just how long it takes to drive out of there.
It's got a lot of amenities, though. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
We ate at one of the restaurants there that night after we did the pool before we went to Magic Kingdom. Y'all went ahead and went over to Magic Kingdom. We went ahead and ate dinner. It was the Italian place. And now, when I eat out Italian, I love to find places that make their own fresh pasta. This was not fresh pasta per se, but it was still good. The sauce was really good, so it definitely hit the spot. And the best part about it was we just walked in, no reservation, and sat right down. So
it's hard to find these days.
I will say, though, you were mentioning room requests earlier. I did at Pop actually get my room request fulfilled for once, which doesn't happen very often, honestly. But
like
I
the exact room.
Not the exact room. I didn't do, like, through touring plans, the room request. But I did request ground floor of the 60s building. And I wanted away from the pool. And I got the backside of the building 5 of 60s ground floor, which ended up being probably the best location I've ever had at Pop Century. Because
really?
Yeah. We didn't have two. We had two strollers this time. So we didn't really want to do the elevator, so we were ground floor. It actually worked out. We were halfway that building on the backside, so we didn't have the noise from the pool area. We could park in the 70s section, and it was closer than, you know, if you get the preferred room in the 60s, it's actually a longer walk from the parking area to get to the 60s buildings.
Right, but it's closer to everything else.
Right, but if you're on that back side like we were of Building 5, it was actually parked closer to the 70s, so we parked in the 70s, walked over, our room was right there on the ground floor, so it was pretty easy to get to the Skyliner. It was easy to get back to the car for driving to the other parks that we went to, and overall, probably my best experience at Pop as far as rooms, because if you don't get... If you don't get a preferred room, you're going to be in the 90s, most likely. That's what it felt. Seems like every time I don't get a preferred, I'm in the 90s, at least for me.
I've stayed there twice. 90s
is where it always puts me to.
Ugh, I know. I can't stand the 90s. It's the worst area.
I've stayed there twice. Once a preferred room, which I got in the 60s, which was pool view, fifth floor. I mean, this is like about as close as you could get to the front door, just about. Right. Back then, of course, there wasn't a Skyliner then, and it still wouldn't be too far away from the Skyliner, even if you did. But and my other one was in the 70s, and that was standard. But 70s was not that bad either, as 70s, far as Skyliner.
Yeah, at least 70s, depending on the building, you can park really close to your room too. That's a good thing. But
somewhat,
right.
So anyway,
moving on.
So you had a pretty good experience over at Pop overall. I mean, about what you expected.
I gotta say, Pop. Still the best of the values by far. You know, I had a 5-minute walk to the, maybe not even 5 minutes. It was more like 2 minutes to the Skyliner.
Right. Yes. So, I know it's really close.
Yeah. It's great.
Yep.
It's worth the extra 10 or 20 bucks a night.
All right. So I think the first day you guys came in, did y'all do Epcot, was it?
Yeah. Well, first we met at Springs. We met at Disney Springs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just briefly. Did a little quick shop and then out the door, and that's when we went to go check in.
I tried a adult milkshake at Deluxe Burger, and it was very good. I liked it a lot.
Really?
Just saying.
What do they put in it?
Bourbon. It was what kind of bourbon? I forgot now. But it was a really good one. I was feeling nice at Disney Springs. So
okay. Well, there you go.
Very enjoyable drink.
Adam was already relaxed.
Okay. Yes, it was a nice start to the trip.
All right, so
but then Epcot, but you did,
you did go to Epcot that night. Anything different that you did this time at Epcot compared to previous times, or did you kind of do some?
We We saw Harmonious.
What did you guys think?
We loved it.
Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely
fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show as well. I've always been partial to the Epcot night shows anyway, me personally, but they still, this is good. Yeah, this is very good.
The music's great. I love the fountains and the, you know, the barges. Everything about it was great during the show, at least. And I love it.
I do think it's a show, though, that is very dependent upon your angle as to how good of an experience you have. But still, I think you still have a good time.
We had a good angle, but we weren't very close, so we didn't have like the best view ever, because we kind of showed up maybe what 20 minutes before or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we were pretty far back as far as like getting an up close view, but we still were straight on to the main barge, and it was great. I mean, I held my son up where he could see it, because he is like, he's watched it on YouTube 100 times, and he thinks it's the best show. And so he agreed with us that it was his favorite. Yeah, everything about the show, even the parts where they shoot the fireworks from the sides of the, I guess, land into the center, you know, where they shoot that's a really interesting part. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is a great show, so.
Yeah, the water looks tacky in a camera, like when you see the pictures of it, but in person it worked fantastic, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think you have to see it straight on necessarily. I think you should for at least your first or second viewing probably. But once you've seen it a few times, I think trying different vantage points is probably a good thing to see it from a different angle.
I watched a couple of angles since seeing it in person, but I found that being either just to the left or just to the right of the American Pavilion seems to be one of the best views, really, instead of straight on.
Yeah.
Because you get Spaceship Earth in the background, and it had, of course, right now it has the, you know,
LED
projections
lights.
On it, or LED lights. Yes. Speaking of which, the Beacon Show.
Oh my gosh!
How'd you guys? Yeah,
loved it. One of our favorite things. Yeah.
You know, I kind of raved about that when I came back. I was like, it's just something about sitting there and watching it. It was like, it just gives you this feeling. I can't explain it.
Even
like the music and everything together.
Right, even being in line for Spaceship Earth, looking from underneath it, it's like really fun to see the show or seeing it light up. It just is a very different experience, and it's really fun.
It's mesmerizing.
Love that. Yeah, I love it.
You liked it, Jason?
Oh, I wanted to see that. That's one of the main things I wanted to see. I was there. Fantastic. Yeah, Epcot kind of broken in the middle where you can't do anything, but other than that, it's really coming together nicely.
And it seems like if you're going to choose a time of day to go, it seems the evening is the time to go.
Yeah. I think we had that one goof where we were walking in Epcot and then we realized we walked to a dead end. Like, why did we do that? We were just like talking and walking.
We were leaving Spaceship Earth and trying to get back to International Gateway, and we just walked right into the exit of Spaceship Earth. And
why? I don't know why it was just habit, obviously. We weren't paying attention.
Okay.
Funny.
That was the actual first day there. You already talked about the second day was pretty much the pool area. Mm-hmm. Did you go to any parks at all that day?
Magic Kingdom.
Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
Anything in particular stand out there?
New Year's Eve fireworks.
So I'll tell you what I did at Magic Kingdom. Are you ready? I'll give you the full blow by blow. Are you ready?
Yeah. Get a pen and paper.
I walked in, and so we parked at the Polynesian, rode the monorail, got out, went through the ticket tap style, walked in, heard the music, started jamming. They had the Snope going in Main Street. Walked down Main Street, party's rocking. I pull up in front of the castle. We're looking at the DJ. My wife says, well, what do you want to do first? And I was like, I want to stand right here. And it was about 8:15, 8:30. And I stood there until the New Year's Eve fireworks started at 11:50.
Wow.
You basically held the spot for us. Because we got there about maybe an hour before you did, something like that, half an hour, I don't know. And we were just riding the rides.
You stood there since, what time did you say it was again?
About 8:50. I stood there about 3.5 hours. I talked to Vicky Mouse for a little bit, but other than that, I stood there and listened to the DJ, watched DJ's two renditions of the Christmas show, Christmas stage show.
Yeah,
I got to see the Three Caballeros out there. And then I got to see New Year's Eve fireworks.
There you go.
That was my day at Magic Kingdom. I didn't make it past the hub. I rode nothing.
Literally. I kept looking at your location, and it's like right in the middle of the hub. That's all. You didn't move. We, on the other hand, did lots of rides back and forth. We had my 2-year-old niece with us, so we tried to do all the little kid stuff. So we did lots of that and wandered over, around 11? No, maybe 11? I think we stood with you for about an hour before the fireworks.
Yeah, so
maybe
10:45
or so we showed up.
Yeah, and, I know our first couple of trips with Maddie, at least anyway, because she was younger, we spent a lot of time in Fantasyland. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. So, John, remind me, the fireworks show, the Sorcery in the Sky, is that the same soundtrack that they used back in the day, long time ago?
You know what? I think so, because I did catch a little bit of that on New Year's Eve by chance, because, of course, you know, somebody was streaming
it.
I did catch a little bit of that, and that's what it made me think of.
Yeah,
so
the soundtrack.
I'm thinking that's the original, the 90s.
Right. It was very familiar to me, the soundtrack, because they played lots of the, like Pirates and Small World and different attraction.
I tell you what,
tunes.
I could probably go back and find the official album from 1996 and tell you exactly.
I could have
by playing it.
Right.
Which I still have it. I have the CD. Yeah. So
it felt very familiar to me after it got going. But then, of course, the New Year's Eve countdown, even though it was the day before, we sort of marked that as our New Year's Eve celebration because we weren't going to do that two nights in a row. The fireworks were incredible. When you looked at the 360 fireworks and looking around, it was pretty impressive.
I feel it was a little bit of an absence because they didn't shoot any off in the direction of Tron because it's all blocked?
Not really to me, but it was cool to be able to turn around and see fireworks in different angles behind you, and then seeing the fireworks around you was cool.
I got to ask this question. Given that they were doing the Sorcery in the Sky version of the fireworks, was there any projections involved?
Yes.
Not.
It wasn't
not
like the crisp projections that you see in the current ones where they like map to the castle. They're like projecting like stars going up the castle. They did do the opening projection for Tinkerbell was on there. Mm-hmm. They did do that.
Which was awesome.
So it's probably like fun. It's like B mode for enchantment, I guess, right? If there is such a thing.
I mean, I guess let's put it this way. It's better than enchantment because it actually pays homage to the parks.
Yeah, lots of fun attraction soundtrack stuff, which sounded very vintage.
That was my criticism of the last couple of soundtracks, is it needed to include actual attractions music since they're in Magic Kingdom. But, I'm going to just give that part up. But that's what I think should be involved. Anyway. Yeah. By the way, when you said parked at Polynesian, does that mean you rode the Ohana, I guess? Or did you?
I got Kona Cafe.
You rode the Kona Cafe. Okay.
I rode the Citricos over.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. It doesn't have quite the same ring as riding the Wave, which I guess that those days are gone.
Leaving Magic Kingdom, it was a madhouse.
Oh, holy crap. And we waited a good 15 minutes to leave.
Yeah, and we got out, and just the crush of people trying to get on the monorail, we're like, we aren't doing that.
We've already done
enough Omicron. So we walked the path back to Grand Floridian, but I parked at the Poly, so I kept walking.
Yeah.
Once
at least you had the option.
I left our stroller with you because you needed it, Adam, and so I carried my son the rest of the way. I actually went the wrong way at first because I went straight when we got to the wedding pavilion and like kind of almost got to the cast member like path and had to double back. Anyways, it took a long time. I was very tired by the time I got back to my car. And then I had to drive to Bonnet Creek.
What's funny is a few nights later I walked from Polynesian to Grand Floridian that same path. The opposite direction.
Yeah.
But I'll get to that later.
Okay. So why don't we finish up, Adam, your part of it, since yours is still in Walt Disney World. Won't you? Sure. What was your next Because we know what Jason did the next day. We'll let him do his cruise section of it, the last bit.
Okay, right. So New Year's Eve, I went to Animal Kingdom in the morning. And, of course, we didn't rope drop because we had two small kids. Well, three kids, really, that were not going to wake up after staying up till midnight the night. Actually, I don't think we went to bed until almost 2 a.m. that night. So there was no way we were making rope at Animal Kingdom. By the time we got there, it was maybe like 10:45 in the morning. And it was packed.
You still did pretty good, considering.
Yeah, not bad. I thought we did pretty well. It was packed. We ended up eating lunch. I think we only did... Did we even do an attraction at Animal Kingdom? I don't think we even rode anything in Animal Kingdom. I think we ate lunch. We did some of the walk-through zoo attractions and things. And it was just so crazy that we're just like, okay, let's just park hop. And so we went to Magic Kingdom after that and did a bunch of stuff. And then we ended up having dinner at Steakhouse 71. So that was what we decided to do that day.
And you spent a lot of time while I was there because true. What happened was Adam's wife found out somebody was coming to Disney World that night, and with a 48-hour notice,
friend of hers, yep.
Adam was tasked with finding a reservation on New Year's Eve for 9 people at Disney World.
Yes.
And they merged the reservations because he ended up getting a 5 and a 4 at the same time. Did they merge in and let you sit together?
So they did. It was a little weird. So I will mention a little bit about our Steakhouse 71 experience because it started off a little strange. At first they were like, yeah, we can sit you close to each other, but we can't merge you. But they sat us at the first table was a booth that was gigantic, which was like, this is only for 5 people. It looks like we can all fit at this booth. And then there was this little table off to the side for 4 people. And we're like, well, maybe we put the kids there. So we're kind of trying to figure out like who's sitting where. And then one of the servers was just like, hey, why don't we just move 2 of these chairs over here and you could all sit at this booth and you're done at 1 table. So they eventually set us all together, but it took a kind of all of us together trying to figure out, because initially they were like, we got 2 tables, but they're kind of close to each other. Yeah. So it eventually worked out, but it took a while.
I was saying it's a win for them because they have a table open now.
Right. Well, though they did take 2 chairs away from that table, so I don't know. Yeah, I didn't.
They could sit 2 people there at least.
Right, party of 2. But our server, she was good. Overall, at the end of it, we were like, okay, she's really efficient and she's good. But maybe the fact that we were a little, like the rest of our party was a little late. We were there early. The rest of our friends, it was their first trip in a long time, so they had to take the bus to Magic Kingdom and walk over, or I think they actually took the monorail over. Yeah. It took them longer, right? I mean, it's a busy night. It took them longer than they expected. You know, it's just, it happens. So they were about 20 minutes late, and then, you know, we finally sat down. So maybe that was part of the reason why our server was so rushed, but she would literally come over and say, like in the beginning, it was like, can I take your drinks? And, you know, like, oh, I'm ready. I'm not ready. She would take 1 order and then just leave. She would just take off. And so she would come back and we're like, okay, we want to order appetizers. Can you just stay here while we all order appetizers? And we would do the appetizers. She took off again. And then somebody else wanted to order something else. And so we had to flag her down and get her back. Like, hey, you left before this person was ready. Can you just stay here real quick until we were all settled here? You know, we had to, in the beginning, it was just trying to like get her to stay because she would just take off as soon as somebody made 1 order. So it was a little weird to begin with, but in the end, you know, she never forgot anything. She was on top of it, but it was just like, she would just take off and we'd have to like try and find her. Like we didn't finish our order. There was 1 person that was still trying to decide. So,
well, did they seem really busy?
There were not actually. I mean, there were some empty tables I observed, and that could have been a COVID thing or what, but there were a few empty tables I observed, so it didn't seem like they were like overwhelmed, but
right.
I don't know. Anyway, But I ordered the steak, the New York strip. It was good. Of course, I got the bacon and eggs as the appetizer. It was amazing as always. Yes, I have to get that.
That's a staple.
Of course. I tried one of their cocktails. I forgot even which one it was. It was pretty good. It wasn't amazing, but it was decent.
I don't guess anybody went for the shared, what was it, tequila sunrise?
Oh, we did not. Yeah, we should have, but we didn't end up doing that. Because, for one, the kids were, you know, it was the end of a long day, and the kids were melting down, as always. So it was kind of, I knew a sit-down restaurant with three kids is a lot harder than two.
I just remember the night we did it, that guy, his line, the way he delivered it was really more classic than anything else. I was like, is this big enough for all of us? And he's like, with friends? And he was like, depends on how good of friends.
Right, exactly.
I was like, okay.
And in hindsight, anyway. I should have ordered that, honestly. But I will say, the food was quite good. I was impressed with it. I thought it was a good meal overall. The service, like I said, was a little strange, but... I can write that off to maybe it was obviously a busy night in terms of being New Year's Eve. It was getting late, so maybe she had to get to something. I don't know, but it was a weird service, to say the least.
Overall, the quality of the food was still
it's good for the price, by far. It's very good for the price. Yeah, very good for the price, and I love the when you walk in, you know, the pictures of contemporary under construction and Walt when he visited the property and stuff like that. There's lots of cool pictures of Roy, and I love watching all those old pictures of construction of Walt Disney World and contemporary and things like that. It's a really cool atmosphere of the restaurant, so liked it, and it was fine. And New Year's Eve we ended up going back to Pop Century. And we bought champagne in the store. They gave us free, what do you call them? New Year's Eve hats, whatever. So we ended up just watching the ball drop in New York on TV while the kids were asleep. because we did our New Year's the night before. So we just went to bed early.
I know you ended up sending me like a picture of... I forgot where you were like in front of the mirror or something.
I had my
at Pop.
Right, I bought my $4.49 macaroon and another dessert. I think that we shared. It was good. A lot of the 50th anniversary desserts are really good, by the way. Just we sampled a lot of those.
Okay.
So the next day, just to put a button on our trip, was Genie Plus Day. We started at Hollywood Studios in the morning. I was already frustrated with Genie Plus because I got up at 7. My goal was not to get Slinky Dog, like I said, because we had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And, you know, it was just we were trying to get Runaway Railway. And so I was trying to get the earliest Runaway Railway I could get. But every time I tried to book it, it would push it to a later time. And I was... getting annoyed with that, but come to find out that's just the way it is with booking Genie Pluses. So I ended up getting like a 10:30 a.m. Runaway Railway. We got that one, and then I think I got like Toy Story Mania as soon as we checked into the Runaway Railway. And after we did that, I think we did Swirling Saucers without a fast or lightning lane, I should say. And then we were just like, okay, what are we going to do with a 2-year-old here at Hollywood Studios? She's not tall enough to ride Smuggler's Run or, you know, Star Tours or anything. So let's just hop to Magic Kingdom. So we hopped to Magic Kingdom, and then it was definitely better at Magic Kingdom in terms of getting lightning lanes. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem for me was, you know, I kept getting to the point where I couldn't get a couple of them banked by the time we got there. I only had one of them. And so I basically had to get one, use one, get one, use one, get one, use one. So that was frustrating, to say the least, because you can't modify one. So I had to keep checking to get one for a good time. And the times just kept... that was by far... And I complained to the guest experience team twice about Genie Plus because I was trying to get, I would see like Peter Pan for like right now, and I would go to grab it and it would switch to like 10 p.m. before I could lock it in. And that happened to be like six times before I could lock it in. And I finally got it towards the end of the night, Peter Pan. But that happened to me at, say, Winnie the Pooh. It happened for even Mermaid. It was just like every time I would try to get something, it would skip ahead like 6 hours or something. And so I would have to go back and keep refreshing until I found, you know, a good time. And then, of course, it would lose it again. And, you know, so I spent more time on the app than I did with FastPass Plus, which was even more frustrating, I think. But at the end of the day, we did, I can't remember exactly, but we probably did 11 or 12 attractions that day with Lightning Lane, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, not bad. Most everything in Magic Kingdom. I think Jason mentioned a lot of the same frustrations, didn't you, at Genie Plus. You can't modify, which is the most frustrating thing. And the time when you try to book one, it would keep skirting away. And literally, I did this in front of a guest experience team person trying to get Big Thunder. And I was like, look, I got this one. And it rolled. It pushed ahead of time. And so she was like, you know what? I'll just give you a Big Thunder anytime. And so that's when we were able to get on Big Thunder without having to use, you know, trying to find one. So thanks to the guest experience team for that particular one. But I also voiced my frustration with when you start at Hollywood Studios like I did and you move to another park and you go back and forth between your tip board and your what's the other tab, I forgot, but you keep going back and forth, it'll switch to
my day, isn't it, or something like
your
that?
Day, yeah, it switches to Hollywood Studios and it's like I have to go back to change park, go back to Magic Kingdom, and they were like, yeah, this is a glitch that is happening. And so that's one reason. It's just terrible. Yeah,
I was gonna say that's not a glitch, that's just part of
it. That's what she called it.
That's not a great, that's not a good use of interface, I guess, or whatever you want to call it,
right? It's just a oversight, put it that way. But anyway, so because of I showed her a lot of my frustrations, she gave me the Big Thunder pass. But later in the day, I just was like, look, I want to make this known that you should have a modify, so you need to, I just want you to put in this request. So I watched them type in the request. They're like, yeah, we send this to the IT folks every day, like whenever we get complaints or suggestions or whatever. So they send all these tickets into the IT team. So
does that sound like that we're saying that there's been more than one, more, or there's been a few that have suggested a modify option? Oh,
well, I made the comment, like, I'm sure you get this request a lot, but I want to make certain, like, yeah, we hear this quite a bit, so we'll put this in. So I know they do, but she said, the other guest experience person told me, the app will get better over time. It definitely will. It's like they're working on it, blah, 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 you know.
I have no doubt that it will.
Yeah.
I think the basic principles that it's founded on are still going to be part of the problem that some folks have with it, the whole paying thing. But it's not going anywhere, unfortunately. Right. But FastPass Plus was the same way. Yeah. People, when it rolled out, a lot of people had issues with it, and then of course they eventually perfected it. Well, I don't know if perfected it's the right word, but it got it right.
What's funny is the first guest experience person told me that exact same thing. She was like, "Well, when you know FastPass Plus came out, it was pretty bad to start with, and it eventually got better." Yeah, and I was like, dude, I know, I was here for all that, I know all that, but
which is why you're so mad, because you're now paying for this and it's right. worse.
And I made that point. I was like, we're now paying for this and it's a worse experience than what FastPass Plus ended up being for free. So that's the issue that I have, is the frustration is we're now paying a lot of money for this and it's a worse app or worse system than we had for free. So that's the issue. And
this is probably going to take, to be quite honest, before it's something that resembles an acceptable alternative, it's probably going to take like 3 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It really is. It'll take a while.
Yeah.
So anyway, overall, it was a good day. We did a lot that day. And we ended our day at Polynesian, and we went to Trader Sam's, Tiki Terrace, and ended our day there. And that's when we had also, I think I had Grand Floridian Cafe that day. And so we walked back over from Polynesian, but we made it just in time before last call on the drinks at Trader Sam's Tiki Terrace. So, and the musician had just was doing his last song when we got there. So we got to have some drinks and chill for a few minutes, and the kids were asleep. Two of them were sleeping. And so it was nice to kind of relax a little bit in the night. It was a great day. And then what did we end up doing the last day? I think the last day was kind of a wash because the kids were tired. Mm-hmm. But we parked up a little bit. I think we started at Epcot. We did a few things. I did go to La Cava, which was great. I also did go to Baseline Tap House, which Jason neglected on his last two trips. So I feel, I don't know why you've neglected our spot, Jason, but
I didn't even go to Hollywood Studios this trip. And
the last trip, you were out of there by 9:40.
Yeah, I was like, this genie thing sucks. I'll come back when I have something to do.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much the end of my trip. I did get to hit some of the spots. I got to Trader Sam's, I got to La Cava, I got to Baseline. So all in all, good trip.
Cool. All right, Jason, what else do you have to add? Because the next day where we last left off with you, you went on a cruise on the Disney Dream.
I did? Yes, I did.
That's a negative for Omicron, apparently. Or
oh, I was COVID. so worried about that.
You were sweating it.
Yeah, so let's go through, I guess, the whole experience, because I feel like that's probably what people kind of want to know. Like, what is it like doing a cruise like that in the COVID era? So we had a port arrival time of 12:30 p.m., and I was going to arrive early, and I realized, as I looked at the website, that they were just going to turn you around if you did. So we had to figure out something to do, because we woke up, checkout was at 11. We ended up going back to Disney Springs because my wife didn't like the shorts we had purchased our son on that first day. And we walked around and tried to find somewhere that had different shorts, and we couldn't find anywhere that was selling shorts in Florida in December. And I don't know why, because Florida was hot. So I don't know why they were selling like sweaters everywhere, but whatever. But that wasted enough time for us to get into the car, drive out to Port Canaveral. The ship was there in all of its glory. We pull in, and the first thing they have you do is they check your arrival time. They said, okay. And we were still technically a little early, but it was fine. We probably arrived like 12:15 in that time frame. We pull up, and I was never mailed anything. I think it's because I'm sort of in different addresses. I didn't receive luggage tags, so we had to figure out what stateroom I was in, and then they put luggage tags, and you drop off your luggage before you do the COVID test, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, what happens if I fail? Are you guys going to go back and get my luggage out for me, or like, how's this going to work? So we drop off our luggage at the porter. We drive in. You pay for parking before the COVID test. Another, you know, let's nickel and dime you a little bit in case you're positive, you still paid for all the parking for the next 3 days. Too bad, mm-hmm. So sad. You pull into the parking lot and you get in line. The first person hands you some test tube things with some labels in a bag, and you're supposed to go in and write your name and all this stuff onto the test tubes and get those ready. So we did that, and then you go to the next station where someone sort of instructs you, like you go to this, pull in, the lady comes in, checks your test tube, says, okay, we're good. She hands you the things and you swab yourself, and then you put it in the tube, and you put everybody in your family into one bag, you hand it back to her.
So you're still in your car, you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow, so you do the car self test. Okay, so it's a self
just test. For clarification, you don't literally put your family in a bag. That's what
it sounded like. You put your whole family's test. Your whole family's swabs. Tests.
Test. I know. That's just the way it sounded. I mean, you have to hear it back, but anyway.
And after you do that, someone from Disney comes up and then asks you a bunch of questions like, do you have COVID symptoms? Well, you've pre-done the stuff, and then they're like, okay, your stuff looks good. What you'll do is you'll get a text message, or you can go to the Safe Passage website and refresh, and it'll let you know when you can leave the parking deck. So you're not supposed to go to the cruise terminal until you've cleared the cell. So we parked, and we had to wait maybe 30, 35 minutes for our test results to come back. I was just on the Safe Passage website hitting refresh, 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 sweating bullets. And eventually it came back, cleared the sail, and huzzah! So we grab our bags, we go over the bridge, we get down, and you still have to go through all the normal check-in at the front where they... make sure you have your passport and stuff, and then you go through the security. But we didn't have to go to the main check-in because I had done all of that at home. So I just walked in, and we had like boarding group 21. And when I walked up to the cruise terminal, I think it was 21, they were boarding groups 1 to 20. I was like, well, that's neat. And so we stood there for like 2 minutes, and they're like, we would like to welcome aboard up to boarding groups 25. And so all of that time that we took from like parking to testing to... going through that, it like worked out perfectly. We didn't even have to wait. We go in, they welcome the Poovy family to the Disney Dream. Mickey's on the grand staircase, and you get a socially distanced picture selfie you can take with that. They sort of like don't have like the official where everybody gets in one place for the drill. You just have to like go find your spot where you're supposed to muster, and you go open up the app, and there's a cast member there that makes sure that you are there and that you have to take a picture of the spot with the app in order to confirm you've found the spot. So like you have to use the app to take a picture, and it verifies that you went to the right spot.
That's definitely something they should keep going forward.
Right. Yeah. That was easy and convenient. And then we went to Cabanas, and the cruise was half full or less than half full. So Cabanas, walked right in, went down the buffet line, got our food. We got no problems getting a table outside right on the back of the ship. I mean, it's like later on in the afternoon, maybe like 1:30, 1:45. I remember the last time we got on there, it was like a madhouse trying to get a table. We did sit on the same spot last time, but it was a madhouse trying to get that table. No issue whatsoever. I buy my Disney cooler at the table with my, my beers that I'm going to get, which I ended up drinking those much later in the trip, but I wanted one of those coolers. The food was good at Cabanas. I feel like they had slightly fewer options in that there's usually the main buffet line, and then there's like the crab leg line. And I remember there being like a second buffet line option. They didn't have that second buffet line option. It was just like the main buffet line option and the crab legs. I ate a lot of crab legs. It was great. We did all that, and by then, of course, our room's ready. You don't actually get your key to the World Card when you arrive at the terminal. When you go down to your room, it's in an envelope on your door, right? So we walk up, and we take our key to the World. So technically, I guess someone could have just, like, taken our key to the World Card and just gone in our room, but whatever.
What are the odds that's going to happen with how much money they had to pay to get here already?
I mean, it's not like why go in someone else's room?
Unless you went to club level. Found some ice room.
We had a veranda room. I mentioned earlier that we paid not that much comparatively for it because we got one of those non-guaranteed rooms where we couldn't say where we were and wanted to be. But because I think the ship was so empty, we ended up with a great room. We were on deck 9, smack dab in the middle of the ship. Like, you get off the midship elevator, turn a corner, and walk in the door of our room.
Cool.
So, nice. Middle of the ship. Up on deck 9, great views. It was on the starboard side, not the port side. So we didn't get like the castaway key view when we were in port. It's the side aiming the other direction. But we did get some really great views there. It's a nice room. It was our second cruise, so we got the lanyards because we're Silver Castaway Club. We got the bag.
Welcome.
Yeah. The shoulder bag, which was really nice. I really liked that gift.
Okay, so they're pretty consistent with those, because that's the one we got for, I think it was for our first Silver. They give you something every time you go on one, but even though you don't upgrade to the next level until the fifth one, but they still give you something every single time.
The room was really good. No complaints there. I would say the main things that we did that evening is we did go get in the pool for a little bit. The pools were set up where right now you cannot all just get into the pool. They limit it to like 12 or 13 people, so there's a line. And then every 10 or 15 minutes, the lifeguard blows the whistle and the kids have to get out of the pool. And then they refill the pool with more people. Even if there's not a line. Like, the kids are getting out, going back around, and getting back in. But everybody was handling it really well. They still have the social distance markers for Aqueduct. Most people were abiding by those. I did the Aqueduct once. My wife did it once, both with our son, of course, because he wanted to do it. And we had the early dinner reservation at 5:55, the early time. So we did the Aqueduct at like 4:30 and had to rush down, get ready for dinner. Our first night dinner was at the Animator's Palette. And this was my least favorite of the dinners. And I remembered thinking back to my first cruise that I also found that one to be my least favorite. The food I had, I don't even remember what it was I ordered, actually. Nothing was really memorable about the food in that meal. And I was kind of disappointed. I was kind of worried that maybe the food quality wasn't going to be as good as I remembered. But it was better in the other spots. So I had dinner there. And then we were able to, the day I got on the cruise, I thought they were all booked up. But once we got on the cruise, stuff was available. We were able to book a kids club reservation. And the way they're doing that now is you have to book, you can only book one slot a day for your kid. On the departure day, it's an hour and a half book, hour and a half slot, as well as on Castaway Key days, it's an hour and a half slot. On other days, you get a 2.5 hour slot for the kid. So we got a 7:30 booking, and that gave my wife and I an hour and a half to explore the ship. We went to the district area. We got a drink at the Pub 687 or whatever it's called, like the little sports bar area. It was nice to just sort of relax and sort of explore the ship a little bit. This is New Year's Eve, by the way. So we pick our son up at, and they gave us like New Year's Eve hats at dinner, and you know, they're celebrating New Year's Eve. They had special New Year's Eve cocktails and all these things.
I just looked back. You had the veal loin that night, by the way.
I did have the veal loin. We did end up going to the district, but I remember my son didn't get dropped off at 7:30 that night. I misspoke, because my son got dropped off closer to like 8:30, if I remember correctly, because I went and got a massage at 8, and my wife had my son, and they watched the fireworks, and then he went to the kids' club, and then we picked him up. But yeah, I did get a massage that night, and that was fantastic. First time at the Census Spa. My wife and son did see the New Year's Eve fireworks, because they shot them off at like 8:30 or whatever it was. Then he had a little bit of kids' club time. We picked him up. We were talking about going to make it to midnight, but we didn't. We went to bed at 10:30 because we were up until 2 o'clock in the morning the night before at Magic Kingdom, right? Which I think was the right call. So
yeah,
the next day was going to be Nassau, and we had booked a dolphin encounter. So that was day one. So overall, a good experience on that day one. The things I will say is once I got on board, I felt very safe. It really put me in a relaxed mood. Even though there's Omicron out there, knew everybody had tested negative. People were good about wearing their masks indoors. I felt like I never was very close to anybody for any extended length of time ever in the entire cruise. So nice. I guess except for the masseuse, right? But other than that, not really. So that was good. Day two was Nassau. Woke up, saw us pulling into port. Beautiful, of course. And like I said, we had booked the dolphin encounter, and we were scheduled to, our port adventure left the boat at 10:30. So you don't leave the boat and meet your port adventure. You meet in like on the boat and then you leave all together. Because the way they do this port adventure is we did it with like, I think it's called Blue Lagoon. The idea is we were only going to stay with people from the Disney Dream boat the entire time we went on this port adventure. We were never going to mix with anyone else, even though there were other cruise ships in port.
Right.
So we get off the boat, ship, whatever you want to say.
Such a pretty boat.
Ship. Such a pretty boat. Yeah. This Blue Lagoon is a smaller boat ride over to this island where they have dolphin encounters and sea lion encounters, and you can like ride a dolphin, and there's a beach and all this stuff.
Ride a dolphin?
Yeah, like you can hang onto the back of a dolphin and it swims with you. Yeah. So we had booked the dolphin encounter. We get off, they hand us a wristband. They say, you know, our dolphin encounter is at 12:30 p.m. And we're already hungry. We did eat breakfast. We ate breakfast at the Enchanted Garden that morning. Had a nice Eggs Benedict. The breakfast was great. We get off the boat. We go right over to Blue Lagoon. It's a nice boat ride. I really was, you know, looking forward to it. I felt really good about it. We get there, and we immediately get shuttled over to a holding area for our dolphin encounter. Had to sit there for a while. We're starting to get a little hungry. Then they take us over to do our encounter, where we all sit around this big, you know, circle where they slowly bring families or groups up to meet the dolphin, right? The dolphin swims up, and you can pet the dolphin, and then you like hug the dolphin, and you dance with the dolphin, and you get all these pictures. It's really cool. But unfortunately, we were in our little party the last group to get picked to go meet the dolphin. So the dolphin encounter was great. We had a lot of fun, but it just meant it was even longer before we were able to go get lunch. So we really enjoyed that part of the experience. But after that, things took a turn downhill. And this is where I would say I am not a fan of this Blue Lagoon place. Because there was no signage. There were not people there to assist. And they weren't able to tell us very easily. Like, nobody was there to guide us to where were we supposed to go next. Because the way it worked is there were other guests there from Royal Caribbean ships. There were, I believe, 3 Royal Caribbean ships parked in Nassau as well. And each ship had a different beach they were allowed to go to, right? And we weren't supposed to go to the same beach as them. Sure. And each beach had a different place to get their lunch, and we weren't supposed to mix with there. And we weren't supposed to mix at the bar. And it was supposed to be by wristband. But nobody could like, every time I would stop, I'd be like, where do they go? And they'd be like, go that way. And then we ended up all the way down at the place for the Disney beach, but there was no food. And we're like, how do we go get food? They're like, you got to go back that way. So we go back that way, and we finally figure out where they have food. And they're like, do you have a meal ticket? And I'm like, no. How do I get a meal ticket? They're like, well, you got to go over to the bar and buy a meal ticket. Well, the bar is over there in the place where I'm not supposed to be, but I go stand in line anyways because everybody else is standing in line. And it's moving so slow because it's like one at a time. So it's like 2 o'clock, and we haven't eaten yet. And Adam, if you
know how that goes. That's not a good thing.
And so we just order meal tickets and hot dogs or whatever, and my wife goes over to get her meal ticket through this little buffet line. We had no idea it was even in the meal because it was all covered. We didn't even know what we were ordering. And I ordered hot dog and fries just to make sure that my son would eat something, and I just ordered that for myself because I'm like, I don't even know what's in the meal ticket. I'll just order this. So I'm standing there waiting for the hot dog and fries, and it's not coming, and then an employee comes over and is like, is your wife over there? She needs you. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm waiting on food. She's like, no, she needs you. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll start walking over there. And then another employee is like, you can't walk through this area. This is, you just not your wristband. So he makes me walk all the way around. Turns out she had my food.
What?
I don't know. Yes. Somehow she was able to get my food. My son didn't even want the hot dog, but we talked them into giving us rice and beans. They didn't have water. She somehow begged them for water. Miserable experience. Like, all they needed, and my son started repeating this because we kept saying it's like, all they needed was just some signs. Like, just put a sign up. Disney Dream here. Royal Caribbean here. Like, there was no signage or anything like that. Just, if you had signage, we would have known what to do. And also, the meal ticket thing was dumb. Like, they should have just sold the meal tickets where the meals were and not make you go to the bar and get in line with everybody else to buy a meal ticket. But soured our experience a little bit. We did still have 1 hour before we had to get back on the ferry back. So we did go to the beach. I did order 2 drinks, and they made them very strong, and that helped a lot. And my son played in the water, and my wife did. And so by the time we left, we were in a much better mood. But it did definitely, that was definitely probably one of the low points of the trip, was that whole lunch experience.
Wow.
On that port adventure.
Wow.
We get back on the boat. that took up a lot of the day. We still got a little bit of pool time in, a little aqueduct time in. And then that night was the Enchanted Garden for dinner. It was a much better dinner, in my opinion. Still wasn't my favorite. My favorite's going to be the Royal Palace. That's the only one where I can actually vividly remember what I ordered. The food was good. Service was great. Again, we had a reservation in the kids' club for my son. So he went at 7:30. They get 2.5 hours this time. And we had booked an 8 p.m. bourbon tasting. And that was a lot of fun. The person that was giving the tasting, basically, he had this mannerism where it's like he was like reciting a memorized script. And it just was really interesting, but also very informative, and the bourbons were great, and it was a really good time. Really enjoyed the bourbon tasting. I found out I really like Blanton's. I don't know if you've ever had that bourbon, but that was good.
Okay.
And we roamed the ship for a little bit. We had another drink at one of the other bars, and we still had a little bit of time before it was time to pick up my son, and we ended up wandering past this booth where they sell something called Disney Vacation Club. And I ended up talking to someone. I was like, I hear I get a free gift if I stop by. And they said, yeah, sure you do. And here they gave me this Riviera poster like, can we talk to you tomorrow? And I sat there and chatted with the lady for a little bit. I was like, yeah, okay, we talked for a little bit. And so I ended up setting a time for the next night to come back and talk to them because, you know, Vacation Jason is in full force.
And you've had several bourbons and some other
things. I was going to say, this is right after the bourbon testing.
Yes. Yes. And that was, the thing is, as you know, I had bought Disney Vacation Club a couple of years ago and then backed out because of many reasons, like the way we were going back then, I was like, well, we can always just stay at Pop for cheaper. And I also taught myself out of it because it was going to be a lot of money and we were not in the same financial situation. We had more debt. I've paid off a lot of debt since then. I've gotten another job that pays more money and things like that. So I talked myself out of it. And then the availability problems, because we booked very last minute and I booked a lot last minute back then because I was doing challenges.
Right.
But our pace has changed a little bit and we have more regular trips that we typically do that I could do. So my wife and I had already discussed that at some point, probably this year, next year, we were going to buy into DVC because, you know, I won't stop talking about it. And I just wanted to have it. So I set up that time and I was going to go back the next day. We end up going back to bed. The next day is, of course, Castaway Key. So another pretty good day, sans lunch. Lunch was crap. Everything else, good. Mm-hmm. So Castaway Key, to get off the ship, by the way, when you're not on a port adventure, you have to join a virtual queue.
Oh, man.
To get off the ship. So we get up and it says the virtual queue would open, I think, at an hour before it was supposed to get off. And so it was supposed to open at 7:30. So I woke up and the virtual queue wasn't open. But I checked again just a little bit later when I was going to get coffee and it was open and I joined. There were 92 parties in front of me to get off the ship. And the ship departure, the ship was going to start letting people off at 8:30 in the morning. So we were trying to get ready to go and go eat breakfast at Cabana's. We got there, took a lot of doing to get us there on time. And we were sitting there eating. At about 8:40, 8:45, we get called down to say that we can get off the ship. So I got a really good boarding time. But if you didn't realize this and waited till someone on the intercom told you needed a boarding time, you're going to not get off for like an hour or so, hour and a half after the boarding stuff starts. So I used my boarding group's skills to the max. We got off the boat very early, rode the tram over, got us a spot right there at the beach across where the slides are. And that's mostly where we parked for the day. We did a little shopping. Of course, we went to lunch. Castaway Key, fantastic as always. I did both the slides. Last time I didn't do either slide because I didn't even bother going over there. Did both the slides. They are the intense one is intense, John. You weren't lying. It's pretty fast.
Well, that my experience was like, I don't know what it was. Something on the way down that was going really fast, and it pretty much tore me a new one. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it was not that bad to me. It was just fast. And in fact, the first slide, I think, did a bigger number on me because I got like a bunch of water in my ear that hurt for a little while. Anyways.
Really?
The whole thing is I ended up doing the slide twice, was in the ocean for a while with my son. We hung out. But the best thing, the moment, the perfect moment for me happened where my wife fell asleep, you know, relaxed on the beach. And my son, eventually, I was laying out on the chair on the beach. He fell asleep laying on top of me. And I was just sitting there, beer in hand, ship off in the distance to the left, Castaway Key in front of me, family passed out. I was like, this is my perfect moment. This is it.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted.
Castaway Key is the best. At least until they build the other one. Then we'll see.
Yeah. Who's going to build it? Because Joe Rohde was supposed to be the one designing it. I'm worried it's going to be some sort of watered down version. I mean, I guess we'll get Zach Ridley posting on Instagram about how the shop has great sand theming or something.
Club Cool coming to the new island. Sorry.
Castaway Key, and I think I've said this before, I'm pretty sure I have. It's like you feel like you're back at Disney. That's the type of feel you get from the island. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're at the resort.
They had characters out as we were riding the tram in. They were there waving at everybody going by. It was nice. We get back on the boat from Castaway Key. We get our last aqueducts in, all that jazz. And then it's time for dinner. And this is the dinner that was the best, Royal Palace. And I remember last time it also being the best. And I think I ordered the same thing I did last time. The escargot appetizer is fantastic. I know it's snails. It was delicious. Decadent. Wonderful. I almost ordered a second one. If you're on the cruise, don't get grossed out by the escargots. Order them.
Okay.
I got the Chateaubriand steak. Also very good. And I forget which dessert I got. I got the creme brulee dessert. And it was also very good. It was a great meal. I enjoyed Royal Palace a lot. I like the theming there too. So, all said, very good way to end a very good day. Our son goes to Castaway Key. My wife was supposed to go to the spa to get a facial, but it got canceled. And we were worried, like, uh-oh, COVID. But no, she calls and they're like, yeah, the lady that's supposed to do it hurt her shoulder and can't do any treatments. So my wife ended up being able to join me for our Disney Vacation Club appointment. And unsurprising to all, I am now, once again, welcome home, a Disney Vacation Club member. I have 200 points at the Riviera Resort, and I feel pretty good about it. I feel like I'm going to make good use of it. You give me my perfect moment, a Castaway Key, and I'm much more pliable to start buying. That's sort of how we basically ended the trip, because after that, we went back to our room, we went to bed, we got up the next morning, we did eat breakfast at the Royal Palace again before getting off the ship, and then we drove home.
How early did you arise that morning? Like, how early did you get up?
Oh, well, we had to be out of our breakfast time was at like 7:20, something like that.
Oh, wow. Was that early? Okay. I know it's usually early, but I didn't think it was that early.
Yeah, they had us at the 7:20 a.m. breakfast. We were actually there before that. We got up fairly early. We were out of our room, and we were off the boat around 8-something. So that's the big surprise. Jason is a Disney Vacation Club member again. And I'll talk for a little bit about my reasons for changing my mind back to joining. The first is, in the last 2 years, I've become a lot more attached to staying at the nicer resorts. Right. So obviously I love Grandestino Tower. But outside of that, I also really like Yacht Club. Yes, I like Pop if I'm going on a short trip where I'm going to spend a lot of time at the parks, but we also really like going to the pools at resorts. And the pools at the deluxe resorts are just the best, right? And I love Riviera because it's got Bar Riva. It's on the Skyliner. It's got everything you want. So that's become more of what I like to do. We also have a few times of the year that we pretty much always go that we could plan in advance, far enough in advance to take advantage of Disney Vacation Club. And I don't foresee my obsession waning anytime soon. even though my son is about to turn 7, I'm pretty addicted to Disney, despite the fact that Bob Chapek is trying to do his best to take away some of the magic, I think.
To ruin it for you?
Yeah. But, I mean, right. To say that, still, I had a really great time at Disney World and at the cruise. I think the only time you feel that Chapek burn while you're there is anytime you try to use Genie Plus. Other than that, you still have a lot of good stuff going on. So that was some of my reasons. Also, the other reason is over the last 2 years, back when I did the math 2 years ago, I made a lot of assumptions about how much hotel rooms go up year over year and how much the annual dues are going to go up year over year. And just seeing the rapidity with which they are raising the rates at places like Grandestino Tower, at Pop Century, I see these hotel rooms getting very expensive over the next 10 to 20 years that would make that math work out better in my favor to be at the DVC resorts. And I talked about with this with y'all before the show, and if I stick with this for any decent amount of time, 10, 15 years, I will definitely have paid less per night to stay at these deluxe resorts than they cost at the cash rate today. So.
Well, we've talked about on the show how 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago in some cases, the deluxes were what we're paying for, say, Coronado now. Even what I paid for Pop Century this past weekend is like, that's what I would have paid 10 years ago.
Caribbean.
Yeah, for a deluxe, though. Oh my gosh, yeah. Caribbean Beach was $400 a night for the Christmas week.
So more than I've ever paid for any mod ever.
Yeah, and I like Riviera a lot. And I see myself liking Riviera even after my son is grown. Because Riviera is... they'll probably build better resorts, but you know I love the Skyliner. I like being a hop away from Epcot. I like being near Hollywood Studios. And I also think it is a great resort to own where I can book Riviera and family can go and book with cash at somewhere like Pop, Art of Animation, or Caribbean Beach and still be very close. And basically take advantage of the amenities I have at Riviera as well. Like, if they get the room that you had at Caribbean Beach, they would basically be at Riviera, John. Right. So I think it's got that advantage. Whereas, like, if you had a home resort that's like beach club or yacht club, there's not really a choice for them to be as close without booking at beach club or yacht club, or especially like Animal Kingdom villas or any of the Magic Kingdom resorts. So I actually like that Riviera is adjacent to a moderate resort where if I go stay at Riviera and at the same time I have friends or family that want to also go at the same time, they could stay at a moderate for a decent rate and we'd still all be very close together.
Yeah, or even if they ended up staying at Pop, it's not that far apart either. Not really. Just so. two Skyliner stations away.
I do already have some trips booked with Disney Vacation Club. There is, of course, availability challenges, but I think I have the ability to work these systems. I do have a Memorial Day weekend that was available. I did have to go with Saratoga Springs there. And I do have a whole week at Riviera, 6 nights booked in July. And those two trips together still leave me with 20 points left over to spend. So
I think the 20 points you should probably bank. Just because you're not going to get much for them otherwise.
Well, I'm hanging on to them in case I might be able to upgrade to Riviera for that Memorial Day trip. So.
Ah, gotcha. But if you still have them after the other trip, it makes sense to bank them, I would think.
Yeah, I would definitely bank them. If you don't bank stuff, then you're really, the math gets a lot worse.
Yeah. All right. So, as I kind of predicted, you know, this was going to take most of the show anyway. So, especially when we had two trips technically in one,
right?
That we had to do with no room for news, which is fine because, like I said, the news has not been there's some things we could have discussed, I'm sure, but you know, getting this trip in, especially the first of us to go on a cruise since COVID's been around, was exciting in itself, you know, just to hear back from that. I know I was eager to hear back from that because I've kind of been on the fence as to whether or not I would enjoy one with the, some of the restrictions in place. But it sounds like you had a really good time overall, Jason.
I did.
Regardless.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I'm still got my eye potentially on the Wish maybe sometime next year or this year, actually, now, sometime this year. Not the inaugural ones by any means, because that was way out of my price range, what I wanted to pay anyway. But maybe later on this year, that's a possibility. I'm not going to rule it out. Let's put it that way. So I think that's going to wrap us up. As always, you can find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can buy our exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast.
And our website is travelingwiththemouse.com. If you want to find links to all that and more, you can do that there. We have an email address as well, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you want to book your own Disney Cruise Line vacation or Disney World, Disneyland, Universal as well, you can reach out to our travel agent friend, Jill Dilbeck. Her email address is jilldilbeck@gmail.com.
So for Adam, Jason, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
She hands you the things and you swab yourself, and then you put it in the tube and you put everybody in your family into one bag. You hand it back to her. Huzzah!